you like that, take just a few minutes, because we need to understand how these bankers use smoke and mirrors, and they manipulate the price of gold and silver, and they're trying to do it to scare the average citizen away from understanding what's really going on. The reality is that the whole world financial system, especially the U.S., this Federal Reserve system that creates money out of nothing, and everything we call money is really nothing more than debt, and that debt has been building for the last 100 years, and now the point is it's totally unsustainable, and the laws of economics are trying to collapse this debt system, and as it does that, it's going to destroy the what we call money, because everything we call money today is really nothing but paper IOUs. So if the system collapses, those paper IOUs become worthless. Throughout history, the only refuge from the failing fiat systems, and let's remember, every fiat system ever created in the history of the world always failed, but the only refuge is to get into something that's tangible wealth. It's not an IOU note from someone else. So that would include gold and silver and platinum and other type of metals. So the bankers, in order to keep their Ponzi scheme going, remember, this whole thing is nothing more than a gigantic confidence game, and gold and silver is the barometer of confidence. So when gold is rising, it's sending out a message loud and clear around the world that there's something wrong in River City, there's something wrong with the paper system. So the bankers must, and they have for probably 50 years, manipulated the price of gold. And the way they, and silver, and the way they do it, and let me just give a real quick example. Let's say 3-4 months ago, Dr. Stan, you were a speculator, and gold had just broken through $1,200 for the first time. You said, my gosh, this is a breakout, and I think gold's going to go straight to $1,250, maybe even $1,300, and I want to take advantage of this, so I'm going to go into the futures market, and I'm going to buy a contract. So you go in and buy a 100-ounce gold contract. It's $1,200 an ounce. That's $120,000 worth of gold you have just secured control over. And all you had to do to secure that contract is put up maybe $8,000 or $10,000, which is called the margin requirement. Well, let's say you were right in this example, and gold took off, which it did. It went from $1,210 to $1,220 to $1,230 to $1,240 to $1,250 to $1,260. It actually peaked out at $1,266. So you had 100 ounces of gold, and it went up $60, so you made $6,000 on an $8,000 investment. Now, that's if you had one contract. What if you had 10 or 100 contracts like these hedge funds? At that point, you're now saying...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan, we were just talking to Ron about what's happening to gold and how they manipulate the price of gold. And, of course, Ron's talking about some foolish individual who wants to play the commodity market. He's going to buy a future contract in gold, buys it at $1,200 an ounce. In other words, he puts up maybe $8,000 to buy $120,000 worth of gold. And as long as it's going up, he's going to make great profit. The price of gold goes from $1,200 up to $1,260 an ounce. He actually makes about $6,000 on his initial $1,000 investment. But, of course, what people really don't understand is that the commodity market and the option market are an excellent way of making a small fortune out of a large one. Do not do this, ladies and gentlemen. You're not smart enough to do it. You have to be a lot smarter than anybody I know to play this market and come out on top. Go right ahead, Ron. Now, what happens? This guy's got a potential profit of $6,000, but I bet he doesn't take it, because if he takes it, he'll be very wise. But greed is what motivates people. And he's waiting for it to go up to $1,300
now. At this point, he's sitting there strutting like a peacock, because he's probably the smartest guy in the world, right? And if you don't believe him, just ask him. So what he's thinking now is, boy, I've made one heck of a profit. I think it could go all the way up to $1,300, so I don't want to take my profits now and cut my profits short. But what I do want to do is protect those profits. So what I'll do is put in a stop-loss order with my broker. And in fact, we'll call it a trailing stop. And what we're saying to the broker, as long as it keeps going up, let me ride that contract, but keep a loss $10 under it, let's say. So if the gold price ever dips $10,000, I want you to sell that contract out at the market. Now, in the futures market, for every contract of open interest, there has to be a buyer, someone who's betting it, then it's going to go up, and that's the hedger in our example. And then on the other side, there has to be someone that's going to take the other side of that contract, betting it's going to go down. And in the case of the gold and silver market, that's probably Morgan Chase or Goldman Sachs or a few of these international bankers. And what is their job? Their job is to suppress the price of gold. So they're sitting there, and they've been taking the other side of these contracts on the way up, so they're losing money. But at some point, they look at the market and say, okay, do you think possibly they know every stop-loss order in that market, how many they are and where they are? Of course they do. So they know when to attack the market. So at that point, all they really have to do, since remember, we're not trading gold, we're trading paper contracts, all they have to do is start selling and selling and selling until they start the price down. And once they get the price down a little bit, it starts to trigger those stops. And each stop triggers more selling, which triggers more stops, and the whole thing just cascades down. So about 3-4 weeks ago, they busted gold right from $1,266 down to $1,160 in just a matter of days. So those speculators who were betting on the long side and the ones who were making so much money have now given all their profits back plus some. Morgan Chase and the big banks who triggered this margin massacre made a tidy profit, and they accomplished what they were really set out to do, and that's to keep the price from breaking out. So that's just one of the ways we need to learn that every time they do that, the fundamentals haven't changed. In fact, what has happened to gold? It's already back up to $1,228 or so in just a matter of a couple of weeks. So we just need to learn when they beat the market down. And we're trying to buy gold for the right reason, and that is there's a refuge from a failing system. We just step in and buy the dips, and it'll always come right back because, let's face it, the whole system is broke, and the world is accelerating out of dollars, and they're trying to cover it up with smoke and mirrors, but the reality is that the whole world financial system is imploding.
Well, yeah, the thing is that there's not an awful lot of gold out there. Certainly the central banks have the gold. They keep talking about, oh, we're going to sell gold, but they usually sell it to another central bank, and it's all show business. It's financial theater to make people think, oh, my goodness, there's lots of gold out there. The central banks are beginning to collect gold now because they know this whole house of cards is coming down. A fiat money system works pretty well. It can work for 50 years. It can work well. Basically, our total fiat money system began suddenly on August 15th, 1971. So it's been going for almost 39 years. Done pretty well. I mean, we've had tremendous prosperity. The difficulty, the prosperity is all an illusion. It's all a delusion, and people think, oh, I'm so rich, I've got all this money. I've got all this money invested in bonds. Boy, I'm really secure in bonds. I've got municipal bonds, I've got state bonds. I got California state bonds. Well, of course, California's rating system has fallen dramatically. California has a half a trillion dollar pension deficit, and according to the state constitution, pensions have to be paid, the first dollar comes off the state budget has to go to the pension fund. It can't go to pay for teachers. It can't go to pay for police. It can't even go to pay the legislators. It's got to go to the pension funds. We got a half a trillion dollar deficit in our pension funds, and of course most of the pension funds are invested in the stock market, and when it goes down, and it's going down, it's not a matter of if but when, then of course those pension funds will be buy back probably a trillion dollars, and where's the money coming from? It's going to have to be made up by the state of California, and then it's not going to have any ability to pay interest on its bonds. It's not going to have the ability to suddenly pay the bondholder back the money they invested, and I fear that the people in municipal bonds and state bonds and even T-bonds down the line are going to lose everything because there is no security in a fiat money system like we have today. And certainly the smart people throughout the world are beginning to realize this. They're buying gold, and what's happening is the J.P. Morgan Chase, they've sold hundreds of billions of dollars of gold that they don't have. And that old adage of he who sells what isn't his'n has to give it back or go to prison. And we have heard rumors, and I think they're probably fairly accurate, that J.P. Morgan is working around behind the scenes, very quietly trying to get their hands on any gold they can. Now, basically, most of the mines have forward sold their gold to various mints. As soon as it's mined, it goes to the mint. So they're going to the mint saying, we want your gold. We'll pay you more than the going price. We've just got to have that gold. Why? Because this thing gets into a squeeze, they're going to have to pay not $1,200, $1,250 an ounce. They're going to have to pay $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 an ounce. They have contracts. They promise to deliver, and they can't deliver. Have you heard anything at all about that, Ron?
I haven't heard that particular one, but I have heard, in fact, Jim Willey, anyone who wants to listen to it, go to YouTube and plug in Jim Willey, W-I-L-L-I-E, and Max Kaiser, that's K-E-I-S-E-R. And Jim Willey is the one that started reporting maybe 6 months ago. I think I talked about it on the air. He was reporting that the London Metal Exchange was offering investors a 25% or more bonus, and this has been going on apparently for months, if they would simply take settlement on their contracts in cash instead of gold, which right off the bat that tells you, makes you suspect that maybe they don't have the gold to back those contracts. And that's the point we didn't make in our examples. See, most people say, well, Ron, if they did that, you know, 3 weeks ago and they've been doing it for the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, why can't they do it forever? And the simple answer is that every one of those open interest contracts is an option for the people on the long side to ask for delivery. And so when the people started to realize that there's, in fact, according to back in March, they had a hearing, and I can't think of the guy's name right now, but he's high up in the food chain. He was saying there's 100 ounces of paper contracts for every ounce of real silver in the inventories. And when you realize that every one of those contracts is an option to take delivery, it wouldn't take much to what you call squeeze the market. In other words, the big players like China or whoever say, we want to take delivery of our contracts. And if the exchange can't deliver, then they ultimately will be forced to default. So what he's really saying now in that interview is that suddenly the London Metal Exchange has only gone totally dark. They're not putting out any information. The implication is that they're having trouble meeting deliveries and that they may be forced to default, on the verge of default. So in my opinion, that is when the use the expression, the pit will hit the shan, because that's when, see, right now you get the price of gold and silver from the COMEX and from the London Metal Exchange, and as long as that's where we get the price of gold, they can manipulate the price at will. But if they are ever forced to default on those contracts, then they lose their credibility and they cease to become the pricing mechanism for gold and silver, and that's when gold will seek its own level. And that's why a lot of the experts are predicting, you know, $3,000, $4,000, some of them are even predicting $10,000 to $15,000 gold over the next 2 to 5 years. So the whole thing's about ready to melt down is the point.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly one of the people I have the greatest respect for is Richard Mayberry. His early warning letter, it's back to the years, it's been very, very accurate. And he's certainly saying he thinks that gold will be at $5,000 an ounce here within the next 2 to 3 years. It's only a matter of time. He also simply talks about history, tells us, of course, that governments, when they get into financial troubles, always want to precipitate a war. And, of course, there's been even a little bit appearing in the media about the coming war with Iran. I don't know when it's going to be. Certainly John Bolton, who's a member, the former ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, member of the Project for the New American Century, member of the Brotherhood of Darkness, has said that Israel is going to have to attack Iran before the 21st of August. Now, I think this is all just to get people up in the air, get them nervous and tense, and they put out all this sort of disinformation. Why? Because they want people to, well, it's like crying wolf. You cry wolf over and over again, and when the wolf comes, nobody is aware of it. I believe the war with Iran is coming. One reason is they want the war as a distraction from what's happening to our financial system. Certainly some people make a lot of money out of this, but what certainly all the commentators forget is the prophetic significance of what is going on today as far as the alignment of the various nations there in the Middle East, preparing for a great and terrible and bloody war. Well, Ron, you go right ahead. Sydney, what are you hearing from your customers out there? Are they aware of what's going on?
You know, that's funny, Dr. Stan.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
In 1933, they simply melted down the coins, but that is not deliverable gold. Deliverable gold is a 0.999, something like that. A purity, whereas, of course, coins are only 0.9 purity, and they put things in with them, so it'll be a little harder. The coins will not scratch as readily. Gold itself is fairly soft, but if you are going to have a contract and you're going to deliver a gold bar, it's got to be of this quality. reality. The federal government consistently refuses to allow anyone to assay those bars or to count the number of bars in Fort Knox. And we have to ask ourselves why, if there's nothing to conceal, why would they conceal it? And why, certainly, won't they let us know what's really going on there? Is most of the gold in Fort Knox coin melt, which is not deliverable in international markets? Have you heard anything at all about that, Ron?
Oh, Lord. Stan, I've been reading about that and hearing about it ever since I got in the business. In reality, I don't think they've had a true audit since 1955, have they?
I don't think so, no, and I'm not even sure it was a very true audit in 1955.
Yeah, so I agree with you. If they had the gold there, they'd be inviting people in to look at it and say, here, you know, let's squash all these rumors that we don't have it. Yeah, I think that's just a ridiculous debate at this point. I don't think there's any chance that they have anywhere close to that amount of gold. And, of course, we all heard about the tungsten gold that was delivered to China, what, a year or two ago? So that brings into question the quality of what they did have. So, I don't think there's any way. I can't prove it. But if I was a betting man, I'd be willing to give 10 or 20 to 1 odds if it's not there.
And of course, the thing is that gold is only important when the fiat money system begins to collapse. When the fiat money system is working, everybody gets rich. The trouble is when the fiat money system quits working, why, of course, so many people who have their investments in anything denominated in dollars stand to lose it all. People think that the municipal bonds are really great because, of course, they don't have to pay an income tax, federal income tax, on the income there. They can get 6% on a lot of these bonds. But what happens when the municipalities or the sewer board or the state or the city simply defaults? And so many of our cities have tremendous pension obligations and contracts with the unions that they're going to have to pay off. And if there's no money to, they have to choose between paying their pensions and paying interest on their bonds. Which do you think they're going to do? Our whole financial system is built upon trust. You borrow money, you're going to pay it back. You buy a bond, you're going to get your money back. What happens if the time comes and you don't get your money back? What happens when the federal government or the state governments begin defaulting? And there are a number of states in this country today that are talking about the very real possibility of having to default on their loans. They've lowered the quality of California loans. Certainly China has lowered the rating of America's debt. Now, certainly Moody's, Standard & Poor's, the American companies say, oh, American debt's just fine. But China says it's not fine, and people have to be very wary buying American debt. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the question is, what happens when a country begins to implode financially? Social Security is bankrupt. Medicare is bankrupt, and there is no way that you can make this work, even Obama, with even his death panels. With 75 million baby boomers going to retire, there's no way this thing is going to work anymore, the Social Security. They know this sort of thing. They just don't want the American people to know. And right now, part of that 1.5 billion, I mean, 100, let's see, it's $1.5 trillion they're borrowing now this year is going to pay Social Security and Medicare benefits. But they're not telling you that. There is no pension fund. There is no the fund, Medicare fund, trust fund. There is no Social Security trust fund. Everything is illusion and delusion. And, of course, our plea is to people, do not count on the government checks indefinitely. Don't count on government health care indefinitely. Begin making your own plans in your own community. Certainly, try to find medical personnel that will take care of you, and you're going to have to find means of paying them. They're going to have to live. We've got to get doctors who'll drop out of the system, who want to take care of patients rather than just go along with the system, because the system will eventually destroy them. And now, of course, they've got all these new rules and regulations, and as the new Medicare system comes in, it's going to restrict the doctor's ability to do what's right for the patient. He's going to have to follow the cookbook recipe, put out Barack Obama's death panel, and ladies and gentlemen, do you really think they are concerned about taking good care of people, or are they concerned about, of course, making money? Well, Ron, why don't you go right ahead there? And certainly right now I think probably we'll begin to see some very interesting things take place here. Of course, October is traditionally the year when the stock market collapses. And this is what happened back in 29. This is what happened in the year 2008. Do we think we have anything to worry about this year?
Well, you know, I think I went through that analogy a couple months ago when I was on the air, how they've created this illusion that the market has recovered, and they've done it with smoke and mirrors and $13 trillion worth of bailout. But if you look at the economy as we've been going through, have they done anything to restore confidence or prosperity in the economy? And the answer is absolutely no. As you mentioned, every state, every municipality is probably in debt crisis. Layoffs continue. You know, unemployment continues to rise. So your tax base is imploding around the country, whether it's state, local, or federal. So the whole system is broke, any way you want to cut it. So I think, really, the market showed its top here a couple weeks ago when it broke down below 10,000. Now they've been trying to prop it up. But everyone now realizes, they're even talking about QE2, you know, quantitative easing 2, and maybe a double dip recession. The reality is we never got out of the first recession. They've just covered it up with smoke and mirrors. So, yeah, I think we're right on the verge of this market imploding to the downside, and that's when everything will start to unravel very, very quickly.
Well, I think that really you can tell whether what is going on by looking at the volume in the stock market. Ordinarily, of course, if it's a healthy rise in the stock market, a lot of people are going into the stock market. They're bidding the prices up. Ordinarily, you put your bid in at the market, and but then why does the price go up? Well, somebody is bidding those prices up. And if you look, there's always a very low volume. There's very more and more people, good investors, have gotten out of the stock market. And then they're going into bonds. They're going into T-bills. They're pulling their money out of money market funds. And more people are going into the bond market, thinking that they're going to find an element of stability in bonds. And I think that is one of the greatest deceptions of all time. I think there are an awful lot of people who are going into bonds today who never heard what Ludwig von Mises said about bonds as certificates of guaranteed confiscation. And it's coming. It's only a matter of time. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown, and we're simply pointing out that if you look at the stock market and you look at the volume, it's a very low volume. The market goes up strongly on a low volume. That isn't a normal run-up in the stock market. That means it's manipulated. And the Working Group on Financial Markets, or the Plunge Protection Team, that's the real name of it, that's the official name, that's the government agency or group of agencies that legally can manipulate the stock market. And ladies and gentlemen, they're manipulating the stock market. They're manipulating our reality. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have James on the line from South Carolina. But before we get to James, Ron, I want you to get your telephone number out. Tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, my telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, fine. And what happens if people call you?
Well, they're welcome to call. I'll spend as much time as I need to with them to kind of, especially the people that are new to it, to kind of educate you why you're buying gold and what's going on. And I'll send out some newsletters that I've written. And if you're interested, I can put you on my email list. And whenever I read things that are very critical, I'll just send it out to the people on my list and just kind of keep them updated with what's going on.
Okay, well, let's go to James, who's calling from South Carolina. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. James, what part of South Carolina are you from?
Hodges.
All right, fine. Oh, would you have a question or comment?
I'd like to know, I keep hearing people say that the government at some point might try to attach pension funds some way. Well, I don't understand how this would be done, and would it be done with state pension funds. That I don't see how it's possible at all.
All right, fine. Would you like to address that issue, Ron? There's talk about the federal government attaching pension funds. So how would you respond to that?
Well, you know, they've been innuendos and discussions of that since back in the 90s. I remember at one point Democrats backed by Republicans came up with a bill that would require initially 15% of all pension plans be invested in government-approved investments. And some of the examples they gave was midnight basketball courts in Harlem and so forth. So the latest one I heard was Biden supposedly put together a proposal to create something called a government guaranteed retirement act, in which apparently all or a good portion of all your retirement funds had to be invested in government securities, because see, the government can guarantee that they can print the money to pay you back. The only question, of course, is what would that money buy once you took it out of the market. So really all you have to do is look at the dilemma. We're running massive deficits, our debt is out of control, and the people who have loaned it to us in the past are backing off. And so where does the Treasury go to? Where does the government go to find one last deep pockets to put off the day of reckoning? And the logical place is to go after the pension plan. So what they eventually do is you know, anyone's guess, but I don't think there's any doubt that they're certainly looking in that direction, because that's the only thing they, you know, only deep pockets left.
And basically what they're really talking about is an annuity. Now, obviously, James, the people in Washington are a lot smarter than you are. You don't know how to invest your money, so they'll invest it for you in government bonds so they can spend the money, and then they'll give you a guaranteed annuity. This is really what they're talking about. The only trouble is that when you get your annuity, what will those dollars be worth? Will they be worth a dollar? Will they be worth 50 cents? Will they be worth a penny or even less? Because this is what happens whenever government. Let's get into the problems where we are today. This actually, something very, very similar happened in Argentina about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, where the government simply seized the pension funds. Now, do you have a corporate pension fund? Do you have a 401k, IRA? What sort of pension fund do you have?
I don't have one. I just hear people talk about it all.
All right, fine. Well, see, most of the 401 and IRA actually are certainly government authorized, and you don't have to pay any income tax on the money that you put in there until you take it out. So the government has the claim on that money. In other words, you selfishly put your money in that 401k or IRA because you didn't want to pay your income tax. So the government really has a claim on those. If they want to nationalize them and put you into something where you'll get a regular annuity, why, they'll go ahead and do it. And believe me, they don't have to worry about the law because they don't believe in the law. Government becomes a law unto itself. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about your right to your money. They want it, and they're going to take it. That's how it works. Now, certainly, as far as state pension funds, as far as corporate pension funds, this is an entirely different situation. Many, of course, corporations set up pension funds. Unions have pension funds. Many of them are guaranteed by something known as the Pension Guarantee Fund. Anyway, the exact name escapes me, but it's a pension guarantee fund where the government guarantees that these pension funds will have sufficient money. And if, say, a corporation has an obligation to its employees, it has a pension fund, and the corporation goes bankrupt and there's not enough money in the pension fund, then the government's going to pick up that amount of money. Well, that's fine, you know. In fact, in the past, they've charged all the corporations that were part of this a guarantee fund, a certain amount of money. So they had a big surplus, but that money's all gone. The pension guarantee fund is now bankrupt. And what are they going to do, especially since a lot of these pension funds are invested in the stock market? And if the stock market drops to 8,000 or 6,000 or 5,000 or 1,000, there's not going to be any money there at all. Where is the government going to get up the money which they guaranteed to pay all these pensions? Well, the only thing you can do is destroy the value of the money and give them exactly what they're entitled to, only won't buy anything. That's the situation we're really in today, and the same thing is true for the states. Anything else, James?
Well, one more thing. If they can print all the money they need, as they seem to have done before, why do they need to attach any pension funds? Why don't they just cut all the money and cheapen the value of the money like that.
All right, fine, Ron. That's a very legitimate question. Ron, tell him why they can't simply print the money, all the money that they need, so that they don't have to take pension funds of the people in America, the American citizens.
Well, the value of our money is a confidence game. As long as people perceive it has confidence, then the game goes on. When they start running the printing press too fast to take care of all the needs you're talking about, then everyone gets alerted that they're just running the printing press, and that's going to destroy the value of the dollar. And then as they lose confidence in the dollar, then they start to run out of the markets, as we're now seeing the foreigners do. They're refusing to finance our debt. In fact, they're trying to dump their dollars. So when you lose confidence in a confidence game, you've got a real problem, and that's basically what's going on.
And I think you have to understand, James, that inflation is not rising prices. Inflation is the increase in the money supply, and as a result of the increase in money supply, prices go up. This is what happened in the Weimar Republic in Germany in the 1920s. This is what is happening in Zimbabwe today, in the nation we install there. I think that's just sort of a trial to see how it works, so that when they want to do the same thing, they can destroy this nation exactly as they've intentionally destroyed what used to be known as Rhodesia, one of the garden spots of Africa, and it was intentionally destroyed by our State Department. And I fear that the same fate awaits us here in America. You're absolutely right. They could print all the money they want to, and as they do, of course, money progressively loses value, and then, of course, you end up with chaos. Anything else, James?
That's all. Thank you, Dr.
God bless. Thanks so much for calling. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I said people really don't understand what money is about. Suddenly you cannot have suddenly an indefinite amount of money. If you do, the whole system collapses. This is why gold and silver were used to restrict the ability of the politicians to expand the money supply. But politicians always want money so they can give it to their friends, so they can give it to their constituents, so they'll get voted back into office. And of course, it has been said, you know, that Tocqueville said that, you know, our democracy will last only until the people find that they can vote themselves benefits from the public trough. And when they can, the whole system comes down. And that's exactly what's going on today. There are very few people, you know, all those who want, you know, to have freedom and the Constitution. But how many of them are willing to give up Social Security and Medicare and the implications from that? I mean, how many people are willing to give up the comfortable life we've had from this affluent money? Well, we're going to lose it one way or the other. But I think it's time people to begin making their plans accordingly and realize that the whole house of cards is coming down, and you're going to have to look after yourself. And it will not be very long before Social Security and Medicare will simply become a remembrance of things past. Are we talking about 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? I don't know. But as more and more of those baby boomers retire, the 75 million people are going to be retiring here in the next 20 years. And pretty soon, rather than having three people working for every person retired, you're going to have one person working for every person retired. And when he sees that all of his benefits, all of his wealth is going to keep somebody else working, he's going to say, I'm just not going to continue working. And at that point, when enough people make that decision, the whole house of cards comes down. Any thought on that, Ron, before we go on to our next caller? And again, once again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Any thought, Ron, before we go on?
Well, you know, I think any way you want to cut it, we've thrown out a lot of statistics, and we could probably go on for hours showing how the nation is bankrupt. Let's face it, the nation is bankrupt, and we're either going to have a gigantic melt-up or a gigantic melt-down. Now, the laws of economics are trying to collapse this unsustainable debt structure, and that's the meltdown. That's the deflationary implosion. The problem there is everyone's savings and assets are tied into paper assets, and when you have the meltdown, the bond market collapses, the stock market collapses, the value, you know, so everyone loses confidence of any type of paper asset, so the only refuge there is to get into gold and silver because that's tangible wealth. The melt-up is that politically it's inexpedient to allow these government handouts to stop. You know, the people need their Social Security, their Medicare, so there's no politician that's going to vote to take us into the meltdown, so they'll always try to print their way out of it, and that's when you go into hyperinflation, and that's what destroys the whole system, because that destroys the whole legal and financial system totally.
Okay, well, let's go to Jack calling us from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, comment and question. United States Code states that the United States is actually a corporation. And I believe, Dr. Stan, you had a guest or two on in the past that traced the historic date to somewhere around 1871 when that act actually occurred. I guess it was a congressional act.
Okay, fine. What was the point, Jack?
Okay, the point is, Federal Reserve, as you have stated eloquently, Dr. Stan, was chartered to ensure a stable monetary system and currency so as to avoid the economic upheaval, right? So, knowing that it is a foreign private corporation, they are contracted to the American taxpayers through Congress. And if they violate the contract, which they obviously have, then their whole relationship in this presumed valid debt that everyone's been talking about, however many trillions of Federal Reserve promissory notes, which, by the way...
Jack, you're absolutely right. They have violated their obligation, and certainly, but the difficulty is that the Federal Reserve is far more powerful than Congress or the executive branch of government. The Federal Reserve is owned by a series of private central banks, specifically J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America. These are the major, and there's some European banks that have a stock in that, and they tell the government what to do. There is no congressman who has the courage to stand up other than Congressman Ron Paul and say this is a fraudulent system. You're absolutely right. But, of course, we no longer go by law. It's all about power. And these people tying into the Brotherhood of Darkness will simply either destroy by the media or certainly destroy by having the Justice Department go out and send innocent congressmen to prison, or they'll have them killed. And believe me, an awful lot of our elected officials have been died under very mysterious circumstances. I share your concern. Thanks so much, Jack. And let's go to Cynthia, calling from Spokane. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. For the very times that are upon us, people, as my understanding is, are purchasing gold or silver, and I thought that was to protect themselves in those cases later on. However, it's been brought to my attention that, just as in the past, the government, who knows who has gold, who has silver, the certificates, at least the gold anyway, because we're issued certificates and they know exactly where it's at, then they actually can come and then confiscate the very gold which was supposed to protect us through these times anyway.
Well, I think they're going to have a hard time because I think there are an awful lot of Americans who are very, very skeptical of government. They realize what they're doing is dishonest. And I will tell you that there's a movement in the military, and I was just reading about this today, and in some of the journals that are put out, independent of the government, but for the military, they're saying, you know, your loyalty is to the Constitution, not to the administration. And if the administration gets out of line, sometimes certain members of the military are going to have to really begin thinking where their loyalty lies, and do they want to preserve America and our Constitution, or do they want to serve their masters? I don't think that they're going to be able to get away with confiscation of the gold here in the United States. Remember that back in 1933, when they confiscated gold, only 25% of the people turned in their gold. Did you know that?
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Okay.
But my understanding, or at least from somebody who's very radical about everything, that you have no choice. They know where to come to get it. It's not about whether they will turn it in or they won't. It's period. We know you have it, and they'll come after it.
Well,
so
how are they going to find it?
Can I address that?
Go right ahead, Ron.
You know, I've been in this business 31 years. I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of contracts. Not one contract has been a report given to any government agency. So there's a lot of people that have bought gold out there. The government doesn't know where it is. They have ways of tracking part of it. but they don't know where all the gold is right now. I can promise you that.
And I think, Cynthia, what they're trying to do is just scare you out to death so you won't do anything so that you'll be totally destroyed and wiped out financially. What you need to do...
Oh, no, it's my brother. He would like very much for me to be able to be protected.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you will get protected. I hope you'll lay in a supply of food and certainly get your water purifiers. But get some gold and silver. And also be sure you have a personal relationship with our Lord, because certainly we should be prepared financially and physically, but we also need to be prepared spiritually, because we're moving into a very, very difficult time. I'm not talking about some time in the distant future,
but
within the next months or certainly years. Hey, Cynthia, hang on just a moment.
Yeah, I get those numbers again.
So you wanted what numbers now? You wanted
Ron's number? Well, I wanted to make sure I have his phone number.
All right, you go ahead. Ron, go ahead, give your number one more time.
It's 1-800-595-0.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
We have our little pamphlet made up of four or five of our newsletters. One is called Prophetic Warning. It is the farewell address of Andrew Jackson with my comments on it. And Andrew Jackson, in 1837, addressed the American people and warned them of the dangers of the central banking system. We have a pamphlet on the history of money. And then we have a pamphlet on the financial meltdown. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And that's the history of money, the financial meltdown, prophetic warnings. Three little pamphlets, each one about 50 pages. But information you need to study, you need to learn, and you need to help us circulate. And then, of course, the talks on the financial Armageddon and on the financial meltdown. And then, of course, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Well, those things, if you understand that, you'll be able to understand what's going on. But the next thing you need to do is get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you need to get it. If you have read it and you think it's a good book, we'll be glad to send it to you in bulk, sell it to you in bulk, so that you can get it out to others across America. And if you'd like to get them by the case or by the half case, we'll be glad to mark the price down. We want you to get this book in circulation. Then, of course, we want to remind you, I will be speaking on the 18th of September in Santa Rosa. If you're in that area and you'd like to go, you can call our 800 number, 800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I want to remind you about our all-day conference on the 17th of October, where we're bringing speakers, great speakers from all across the country. And certainly if you haven't been to our all-day conference in the past, why, you've missed something. We hope you want to come this year. You're going to need reservations because, of course, we are going to be serving lunch. And if you're coming from outside, you want to get hotel reservations. We still have some rooms booked for guests. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we want to mention that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with us, then we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a financial and political and ideological battlefield. We do hope that many of you out there will help Radio Liberty if you're in a position to help. If you're not, we'd appreciate your prayers for our provision and our protection. Now, next hour, and if you can possibly listen to it, I want you to, we're going to have Barry Shamish on, and he's going to talk about the background of Benjamin Netanyahu. There are many, many people who believe that the Zionists control the American government and are manipulators into war. If you listen to Barry's story, which is a very interesting and I think a very accurate story, you'll find out that it's not that the Zionists control Washington, D.C., but it's that the invisible government here in the United States, working through what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, controls Netanyahu and Barack and the other people over there. And, of course, they are going to plunge Israel into a war with Iran to justify our getting into that war. Nothing is that appears to be. Everything is just exactly the opposite. And if you can possibly hear this program this next hour, listen to it. If you don't have access to shortwave, it will be posted on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. Barry has given this story before. I asked him to come back and give it again this evening. I wanted people all across America to hear it because it is one of the most important stories you'll ever hear. So that's just basically who controls who. Does the Israeli government and the Zionists control Washington, D.C., or does the Brotherhood of Darkness, this organization of organized evil, control Israel, and, of course, is moving Israel into a genocidal war with Iran? We will enter in, but behind this are the powerful, the spiritual forces that energize everything going on today. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. And I've asked Barry Shamish very specifically to tell us about the background of Benjamin Netanyahu, who's the current premier of Israel. And certainly in times like this, there are many, many people who are saying, you know, certainly that Israel is manipulating the United States, that Israel certainly wants to drag America into a war with Iran, so that America will, of course, defend Israel in this coming conflict. And I think that I want to point out that nothing is it appears to be. As we often say when we begin our programs, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. I want you to listen very carefully to what Barry says tonight, because I don't think there's anybody who has his information. I hope he's going to write this up in a letter or an essay one of these days. But Barry, thanks very much for being with us to tell us the background of this man who is Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, I will. By the way, I've written all of this in my books.
All right, how can people get your books? Which book is it in?
Oh, my. I followed Save Israel. It's in Save Israel. It's in others as well. I've been following Netanyahu for a while now. And
I assume that's one reason why you're living here in the United States rather than over there in Israel, where you'd rather be living, but go ahead.
Well, you know, it may be. It may be. I got in trouble when I started writing about Ariel Sharon's phony, how they killed Ariel Sharon. He's still alive, but he's waiting for a brain transplant. But nonetheless, you're right. 4 years ago, I'm going to say that it was Ariel Sharon, it's not Netanyahu, that got me into my trouble. But let's look at Netanyahu and what I discovered. And by the way, these are, you dig a little and anyone can make the same discoveries. Netanyahu was a student in Boston in the 70s. He got an architecture degree from MIT. Now, what happened is he got noticed by one Ira Magaziner. Now, Ira Magaziner was the Clinton's health advisor during the first Clinton administration, maybe even all the way to the second. But he was really, really involved with the inner workings of the American presidency. And, he owned a firm called Boston Consulting. Now, what he did is he hired Benjamin Netanyahu, and I believe it would have been in 78, to a really well-paying job. I mean, Netanyahu was earning over 100 grand. Oops, I hear music already.
All right, fine. Well, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu was actually, of course, going to school in the United States. He was actually recognized as somebody. Ira Magaziner saw him, thought he might, certainly, I believe, be useful in the things that are going on today. So here, Benjamin Netanyahu is going, certainly, with very little experience, into a job paying $100,000 a year. Now, that was a lot of money back in the 1978 period. That was, of course, before we really began to destroy the value of our currency. So Netanyahu is making $100,000 a year, and then he leaves that job. He returns to Israel to take a job as a furniture salesman. We'll be back in just a moment. Barry, pick up the story.
Well, I mistimed the music, and you're right. You summed it up very well. He works there for a year, and then, well, he claims that his homeland Israel drew him back magically, people don't do what he did. He moved to Israel and started selling furniture at a place called Rim Furniture for $12,000. That's what a furniture salesman earns in Israel. And by the way, it hasn't changed all that much. So he drops his 100 grand job to return to Israel to work selling furniture. But a year after that, in 1979, this unknown, and you have to understand this, Benjamin Netanyahu was 27 years old. He was from a very prestigious right-wing family. His brother died suspiciously at Entebbe. He had a family name, but he was unknown. Well, he decides to organize an anti-terror conference. Like, who would ask the salesman from Rim Furniture to organize an anti-terror conference? Where did he get the money, and so on and so forth? But who shows up to his conference in Jerusalem? Well, in 1979, who showed up but, well, the big guns of the CFR showed up. That's what happened. George Bush. Then I believe he was the CIA director. Richard Pearl, CFR. George Shultz, CFR. The big guns showed up at this nothing. Really, Netanyahu was a nothing. He's a 27-year-old selling furniture, but the CFR, well, they just made this conference a real hit. He had spectacular speakers and guests, and when it was over, they went back to Washington, and Netanyahu went back to Rim Furniture until a couple of years later in 1982, when the Israeli ambassador to Washington, that was Moshe Ahrens, invited Netanyahu to be his deputy ambassador to the United States. Now, we have to put a little background here. First of all, of Moshe Ahrens, I have the 2001 CFR yearbook. Moshe Ahrens is on the International Advisory Committee of the Council on Foreign Relations. How that works and what he gets out of it, but he's there.
All right, I want you to hold that thought for just a moment here.
Holding.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Barry is telling us that Benjamin Netanyahu leaves a job in the United States, paying him $100,000 a year. He's just out of college. He gets this $100,000 a year job. He keeps it for a year. Then he goes to Israel, takes a job at a furniture store where he gets paid $12,000 a year. A year later, he actually holds a conference on international terrorism, and all of the leaders of the CFR, George Herbert Walker Bush, certainly the George Shultz, and all the usual suspects come to the conference put on by an unknown furniture salesman in Jerusalem. Now, why was he in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv?
Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. All right, fine. It doesn't make sense. So you pick up the story there. Certainly, there's obviously some sort of a force behind Benjamin Netanyahu. And this must be, what, about 1980, 1981?
79.
Go ahead.
Now, onward. In 1982, the Israeli ambassador to Washington, Moshe Ahrens, appoints Benjamin Netanyahu his deputy. And again, I'm repeating myself, but Ahrens is an international advisor for the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't know if that's window dressing or if he takes it seriously, but I've got him, and I've got the yearbook, and there he is. But more to the point, you know, when you work for the Foreign Service for 20 years, hoping to advance, and the second biggest appointment there is, that is Washington, D.C., being the deputy, is the embassy of all embassies for Israel. Nothing comes close. And the ambassador appoints a furniture salesman. You're going to be really ticked off. You waited 20 years for this job, and he gives it to an unknown furniture salesman. So, well, there's a lot of people really, really protesting this appointment. And on top of that, he had no diplomatic experience. But he organized an anti-terror conference. That's it. Now, Ahrens had to explain why he appointed a furniture salesman to be the deputy ambassador to Washington. And here's, I have Ahrens' words. Here's his word. Here's his explanation. He claimed the choice was indirectly made by those who came to the convention, and here's the quote, and were impressed by his performance. Well, that means that if Schultz, Bush, or Pearl pressed Ahrens and said, you better appoint him to be deputy ambassador to Washington. Well, there's no other choice. I mean, Ahrens said that he was pressed by those who came to see him, and we know who those were. The CFR got their deputy ambassador appointed, and from then on in, the road was just paved with one success after another. Now, in 1985, he's now been deputy ambassador for 3 years. In 1985, George Shultz chaired another anti-terror convention, this time in Washington, that was supposedly organized by Netanyahu. I really doubt that he organized anything. He had a busy, let's just say the road was paved for Netanyahu. Okay, keep it easy. But this time, Ambassador Shultz and Netanyahu put on an international show, an anti-terror show, and this led directly to Benjamin Netanyahu's next big appointment. He was named the UN ambassador for Israel. That's when he got the world stage, the United Nations ambassador from Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. No one was surprised by then. I mean, he had been turned into a grade B political star by the forces who want to use him. Now, how do we know that? When Netanyahu was the UN ambassador, George Shultz, here's a quote, visited him every time he was in New York, which apparently was very, very often. Whatever Netanyahu was up to at the UN was carefully guided by George Shultz, who, of course, was the American Secretary of State. In 88, he became Secretary of State, if he wasn't then. Israel's diplomacy was, at the United Nations, was directly the CFR's diplomacy, directly. That's it. I mean, straight out, Shultz was guiding Netanyahu, well, to bigger and greater things, because these people had the power, and they had the power, they have the power today. They determined who is going to be the Prime Minister of Israel. And I've got some good proof about that coming up, but let's keep it chronological, just so we don't get lost. And really a remarkable, remarkable incident occurred a month and a half before Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated. This was in September of 1995. Rabin is on TV. And in those days, there were only two channels in the country, so you could be sure half the country was watching it. Now, he tells what he thinks was a hilarious story on Channel 1. Government TV. It still is. Now, the story that Rabin told, he said that, well, his CFR handler, we knew that, he said Henry Kissinger phoned him that day to tell him that Netanyahu called him the day before asking Kissinger to declare that American troops would not be placed on the Golan Heights as part of a peace deal with Syria. And by the way, I've analyzed this. Whoever said American troops were going to go on the Golan Heights, Why would the Syrians agree to that, so on? And why would Netanyahu be so concerned? It doesn't matter. According to Rabin, that is what Netanyahu phoned Kissinger and apparently bothered him to ask him to make sure American troops weren't separating Israeli and Syrian troops. Now, who was Kissinger going to tell this to? It's not like in 1995 he was in the government. Since when did Kissinger have the power to determine a peace treaty between Syria and Israel? Nonetheless, we have to stick with what Rabin said, and apparently this really happened because, well, the next day Netanyahu confirmed it, but to Rabin, here's the punchline, according to Rabin, that Kissinger laughed at Netanyahu and told him to quit bothering him. That was Rabin's funny story about his political rival, Netanyahu. Netanyahu confirmed the phone call, but vigorously denied Rabin's hilarious and mocking version of what happened. That's not the point. Even by then, I had, and I was really just a novice in politics. It wasn't until he got killed a month and a half later that I actually started writing politics that got noticed.
Oh, no, you're talking about now Rabin is Rabin. The premier, the prime minister of Israel, is actually assassinated a month and a half later, and that, of course, is when Barry really begins to get notoriety because he determines that it's actually the Shabbat, Israeli Secret Service, that has killed the prime minister.
No, it wasn't. Oh, well, you know what? It was a Shabak agent, his bodyguard.
Go ahead.
It was... The order came from Shimon Peres. Let's not get lost, though. You're right. The Shabak... Look, Yoram Rubin fired the shot, and he was the Shabak bodyguard of Rabin, and you're absolutely right. There were two levels. One was political, one was Secret Service, but let's not get lost.
Go right ahead.
I could go on with that story forever and ever, but we are going to confuse your listeners, so let's go back to Netanyahu.
Okay, fine.
Look, Rabin was a loose cannon. A month and a half before he got killed, Rabin was telling things that he wasn't supposed to. Now, and he was drinking like a fish, but he doubled his quantity to 2 quarts of whiskey a day from his usual one. The fact is, Rabin was shooting off his mouth every which way what he told the Israeli people, and there weren't many who interpreted this properly, was that the leader of the government, the prime minister, and the leader of the opposition were both handled by the same person in New York, Henry Kissinger. Now, that means nothing unless you have a little background knowledge of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's not Kissinger all by his lonesome. It means the government of Israel was being handled and controlled left and right by whoever Kissinger was representing, and that was, in fact, the Council on Foreign Relations.
All right, I think this is really such an important thing for people to understand, is that it's not that the Zionists are controlling Washington, D.C. It is that this invisible government, which I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is certainly manifested by the CFR and now even more so by the Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, but they're the ones who are actually controlling both certainly Rabin and Benjamin Netanyahu. And it still goes on today, of course. Rabin's been killed, but Benjamin Netanyahu now is the prime minister or premier there over in Israel, and we are really telling them what to do. Don't believe for 1 minute what the media tells you. Go right ahead, because I think this is such an important subject.
Well,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued.
Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Certainly, at the present time, even though the Labour Party only got some 7% of the vote, why Netanyahu puts Barak, who is also controlled by the CFR, in as the defence minister. So now they've got somebody from the far left in Netanyahu's government, which doesn't make any sense unless you understand all the machinations of these forces working behind the scenes, making mockery of the electoral process. So pick up the story.
Well, again, this story very straightforward. Not only does the CFR determine the leaders of Israel, they determine whether there's going to be an election in Israel. Netanyahu and Barak were working hand in hand, and they knew they shared the same boss, the same way Rabin knew that Netanyahu shared the same boss, and the name Kissinger and Schultz. Those names come up every single time. The key is that the Israeli democracy has nothing to do with Israelis. They appoint people who do the dirty work of people from New York. All right, that's putting it succinctly.
All right, fine. Of course, in New York, it's at 5080 68th Street. That's where the Harold Pratt is, the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. I've been there a number of times, going through their records and secret files, and it's fascinating. This is where the power center, one of the power centers in the United States, is, and the fact that most people don't understand that is simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So go right ahead, Barry.
What is going on is diplomacy that's absolutely opposed to common sense has to be shoved down the Israeli public's throats. And it's a matter of timing. Now, every time they put in one of their leaders, within days, the most controversial, reckless, and dangerous policies are put into power. Now, we'll start with Netanyahu. Look, we can start with Rabin getting Oslo. Rabin is elected, and the next thing you know, we've got the Oslo process right away. When Netanyahu was, and by the way, that was a CFR process, and I'm not going to do that one. That's another hour. Let's just keep on track with Netanyahu for now. In 97, Netanyahu was 96, I'm sorry, end of 96, Netanyahu was elected Prime Minister of Israel. And supposedly on an anti-Oslo plank, which frankly, I don't think he really said anything terribly anti-Oslo during the campaign, but supposedly Labor brought us Oslo and Likud would bring us out of Oslo. That's the way elections work, and that's the way the Israeli people voted in that election. So what does Netanyahu, again, our savior from the peace process, do within a day after he's elected? He's hugging Yasser Arafat. Within 8 days, and here's why he was put in power. The biggest city on the West Bank is Hebron. It's about 120,000 people. Israel was controlling Hebron. Netanyahu pulled all the IDF troops out of Hebron. Now, his cabinet didn't agree with this policy, not even close. Look, in diplomacy, you want some of your hands to be pat hands. You want something to negotiate with. You don't pull out of the largest city in the West Bank without getting something back. Diplomacy is supposed to be give and take. Israeli troops were in Hebron. To get them out, you give us something. But Netanyahu wanted a unilateral pullout from Hebron. Oh, I hear the music.
You go right ahead. I'll tell you when. Go ahead. Because basically Netanyahu then is going to pull the Jewish troops out of Hebron. And suddenly this is sort of where the Cave of the Patriarchs is. I mean, this is where Abraham and Isaac are buried and suddenly their wives. And so why is he going to pull the Jewish troops out? I mean, this is a holy place for Israel. And yet he seems to just turn this over to the Palestinians and gets nothing in return. Why would he do that, Ben?
Well, his cabinet opposed this stupid idea, and they wouldn't have agreed to it. Should I stop now?
All right, you can stop now. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty with our special guest, Barry Shamish. Well, go right ahead, Barry.
Oh, sure. All right. Now, in order to get Israeli troops out of Hebron, immense diplomatic pressure had to be put on Israel. And this is just so suicidal, but again, it repeats itself over and over again. Look, a few years before, IDF, their UN liaison officer in Hebron just said outright that there was the army, here's his quote, "The army was operating a secret platoon whose job it was to stage manage attacks on Arabs at politically opportune times." Well, I investigated this with the Rabin assassination. It exists to this day. This is what they do. A lot of the attacks, when they occur, are, believe it or not, phony Arab attacks. They are opportune Jewish attacks on Arabs by so-called settlers. And they're not done by settlers. They're done by the Secret Service. And, you know, the real problem is the settlers are at a disadvantage. When you've got somebody with money and power and they can arrange attacks on Arabs and blame settlers, what are the settlers going to do? They have a real problem there. Well, Netanyahu couldn't get his cabinet to support the IDF pullout from Hebron. So the next morning, after the cabinet vote failed, I think it was within a day or two, well, there was someone called Noam Friedman, who has spent 4 months in a government mental institute in Jerusalem called Talbiya. And then he joined the army. His social services head of social services from his town, Malibu.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Barry Shamish, and he's telling the story of Netanyahu. And, of course, Netanyahu, once he gets into position of power, he gets into position of power as a good conservative, pro-Israeli, and one of the first things he's going to do is betray the Israeli people by giving up Hebron. But he's turning that over without any compensation, without any certain concessions on the part of the Palestinians. But how is he going to do that? Well, Barry's going to tell you, but before he does that, I want Barry to tell us how they can get his books, get his DVDs, get to his website, and how they can then get to his PayPal button, although I understand somebody has hacked his website to make it extremely difficult to get to his PayPal button.
No, it's easy if you ignore it.
All right, go
My
ahead.
Webmaster, I mean, this is an honor to be so well hacked. The website is fine, but when you go to it, you get a little notice from a Russian site has infiltrated and don't go there or your computer's in danger, and it's just a sign. The website is fine. It's not dangerous, but we can't get this sign down, and we don't know where it's coming from. And, well, I guess what I'm saying is either dangerous to or bothersome to some pretty powerful, people who know how to operate the Internet, that's for sure. But nonetheless, the books you get at lulu.com, that's www.lulu.com, and you'll see a box that says, it says fine. That's what it says. It's a fine box. Spell my name. Chamish. That's Chamish, and you'll get to the books. And to download any book is $5. For those who read off their computers, which I don't, I need a real book. And it costs more to send it to your house, but still, $5, just download it. That's at lulu.com. The website is barrychamish.com. If you go there, ignore that phony warning until we figure out what to do, and it's not an easy one. On that website, there is a PayPal button where you can donate to my cause, and a few people have, and every penny is deeply appreciated. And if you so desire, I'll send you a nice package for your generosity. That's, again, BarryChambers.com. And if you want to, well, order my DVDs or invite me to speak, which occurs rarely, but it does occur. I just came back from Vermont, where I delivered a pretty influential speech. You phone me, 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. All right. Now we're back. Netanyahu is in power 8 days, and he decides to pull the IDF out of Hebron. Now, this is done before the public can take a breath. There's no criticism. He's the brand new prime minister. He can do whatever he wants if he does it quickly. As time passes, of course, the public is going to be critical, but not in the first 8 days in office. He can get away with this incredible move. Believe me, back then it was viewed as pure stupidity. But as I said, there was a unit, and I believe we're talking about the Shabaks, a Jewish department, which has just run, oh boy, have they run the settlers and driven them crazy. And, well, they got blamed for the Rabin assassination and so forth. Netanyahu uses them. This operation with Noam Friedman couldn't have been done if the Prime Minister didn't know it was being done. He is supposedly pro-settler, and he sends Noam Friedman, who was 4 months in a government psychiatric institute. When he joined the Army, the social services director of his town, which was Bali Adumim, warned the Army not to put him in any position where he holds a weapon. This is a first-class crazy kid. What does he do? Well, there is a media, forget the media event. There was a set up media event. The cameras from three international networks and Israel TV were all in downtown Hebron the day that Noam Friedman decided to take his army issued M16 and in front of the cameras of the world, shoot up the market in Hebron. Now, luckily, he wasn't the world's best shot, and his gun jammed after 8 casualties, 1 dead. But immediately, the pressure on Israel to get out of Hebron and stop these settler massacres was on every cabinet minister from all over the world. And lo and behold, the next day the cabinet voted to withdraw IDF forces from Hebron because of this public pressure and diplomatic pressure. Netanyahu got his way. Out we came from Hebron, paving the way for a wonderful, brand new Palestinian morass that we have today. Now, just so you understand that this is not coincidental. In 1999, Netanyahu was thrown out of power and Ehud Barak became prime minister, as was undoubtedly planned ahead of time. Neither here nor there. Barak gets into power and then immediately, well, he pulls out IDF troops out of southern Lebanon. That's what he does. The IDF had, it wasn't just its troops, it had an alliance with mostly Christian Lebanese. The Southern Lebanese Army, the SLA, had set up a brilliant defense of Israel. The northern border was never so secure. And well, today we won't even talk about that northern border. And the days of security are long gone. because in 1999, Barack pulled out overnight, mind you, leaving behind equipment and computers and records within the first week, 2 weeks. He gets elected and immediately pulls the IDF out of southern Lebanon. That's why Netanyahu, if you recall, meeting Kissinger and Schultz and flying back to Israel to tell Barack, excuse me, in 2001 that it was time for another election because the Council on Foreign Relations had another one to shove down Israel's throat. Now, so far they got Rabin elected and in came Oslo. Immediately, in came Oslo. They got Netanyahu elected. Immediately out went Hebron. Then they got Barack elected. Immediately out went southern Lebanon. Now, 2 years before when you were supposed to have an election, which should have been in 2003, Netanyahu flies back from the United States, has a brief meeting with Ehud Barak, who resigns, and announces, and here's the irony, that he is resigning as prime minister and will run again as the leader of the Labour Party, which of course made no sense whatsoever. But the next thing you know, Israel has got elections, and the winner this time for the Likud is Ariel Sharon. Now, what Sharon does is, well, they got rid of Hebron, they got rid of southern Lebanon. What Sharon does is he gets the Jews out of the Gaza Strip. And that's what his function was for winning this election. Barack couldn't have done it. He had used up his goodwill on Lebanon. And I don't think any left, so-called, perceived left-wing prime minister could have pulled the Jews out of their houses in the Gaza Strip in northern Samaria. It had to be a Sharon who the right trusted as a patriot. It was the ideal choice. Now remember, Sharon, well, if you go back to the Lebanon War, he was supposedly ruined for the slaughter of Sabra and Shatila when he was defense minister. Nonsense. You can never be ruined. That's one of the horrible, horrible facts. When the CFR runs you, you are never ruined by scandal. Never. It doesn't happen. And by the way, if Israel played by that rule of responsibility for your actions, Peres would be sitting in prison for murdering Rabin. But no, he's president of the country instead. There is no concept here of justice. I mean, none. You have rule from abroad. Netanyahu did his duty the first time around. Now he got re-elected, and he has to bring in labor. And you've got a left-right government supposedly at each other's throats. But what you've got is one scandal after another. I'm not going to go through the flotilla business because I want to go on to who Netanyahu is. But just remember, Barack and Netanyahu have been playing this game together with Kissinger, Schultz, and to a lesser degree, Richard Pearl and others.
And they're basically one's on the right, one's on the left, one's with the Labour Party, one's with the Likud. But they're all in the same bed.
All together. For one and one for all.
And this is just like we see here in America, you know, we've got the Bushes, you know, George Bush is defeated by Bill Clinton. And why are they? They're the best of the friends. They travel all over the world together. In fact, the Bush family gave the reward for the most courageous senator, best senator, to Ted Kennedy. The Bush family gave this award to Ted Kennedy, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing is like it appears to be, and certainly the same thing is true over there in Israel. Here you've got Netanyahu and Barack, both run by the Council on Foreign Relations, just like most of our people are. But go ahead.
Oh, in America, they're getting gutsy. You had two Bush presidents and you almost had two Clinton presidents.
Thank you for listening.
There isn't even any shame involved. Once you're up there and doing your duty and you're obedient, you stay in power no matter what you do. Just look, I'll tell you how Netanyahu got in power. And this is quite a story. Look, I'll tell you the story. You draw your own conclusions. In April of 97, I attempted to give a speech at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And to this august educational institute came a riot. Again, this was a Secret Service riot to prevent me from speaking, and it was well known that they were planning the riot by the media, and I was interviewed before the riot even started, and I was very good, by the way. I was very sharp in the interview. They made a mistake. They thought they were going to wipe out me and my silly conspiracy theories. Instead, they turned me into an overnight celebrity. Now, I get a phone call the day after the riot. Well, remember, this is the first item on the TV news, the first item in the morning newspapers. There is me. I get a call from someone named Yaakov Moore. Yaakov Moore admits to me on the phone that he used to be in the Hashirut, in the Secret Services, and he said, why did they do that riot to you? Why'd they do it? And I said, I don't know. He said, I want to see what you're holding. And he explains that he is the financial advisor for the minister, Elie Swissa, of the, we find out, terrifically corrupted Shas party. But Yaakov Moore is, I don't believe, was corrupted. I think he was honest. But he says, I want to see what you've got. Can I come over? And I said, sure, come on over. So next day he shows up, nice guy. He says to me, I give him 80 documents, which was a good start. I ended up with 2,500 of them, but these were really, really damning documents. Hospital, forensics, ballistics. There was enough stuff in there to reinvestigate the whole Rabin assassination. He says, let me read them. Give me a half hour. So I read a magazine, and he's flipping through them. After he's finished, he turns around to me, puts his index finger over his lips, stands up, and with his left hand guides me out the front door of the house till we're on the street. He says, you think I'm going to talk in your house? He said, you know those documents are authentic. And I said, sure, I know they're authentic. He says, do you understand how high up this assassination had to have gone? And by then, it was dawning on me how high up this assassination had to have been planned. And so on, and he says, look, first of all, why aren't you in Nepal or Uganda or someplace on some hopeless government job? Either that or they kill you. He says, why are they running riots around you? What is going on with this information? He says, I'm going to tell my minister, and if I think he's going to be very interested, so expect a call from the minister. Next morning, the minister's secretary phones me up and says, Minister Swissa would be delighted to meet with you, and please bring your documents, in return for which he promises you the biggest political story of the Rabin assassination, which is, you know, not bad. I would have given him the documents anyways. I still believe that there was government and truth and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, Yaakov picks me up the next day, and we go to the Kiryat, which is where the government ministers have offices, and I'm invited in, and I'm led to a conference room. And I hear very, very energetic voices in the hall, and then in comes the speaker of the Shas party to this day. That is his position, Yitzhak Sudri, and he apologizes, that the minister couldn't make it to the meeting, and I assume I know why, but he says, in return for your documents, we're going to tell you how Netanyahu rigged the 1996 elections. Oops, I hear music.
And basically, of course, what happened was they had these papers, and they had actually told Netanyahu to use these papers and told Perez if he didn't throw the election, they were going to let everybody know he was behind the murder of Rabin. And they blackmailed him with this information. This is what it's all about, an incredible story.
Wow. Are we out of time?
No, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up.
My Lord, you just summed up what happened.
Well, I know, but I want you to tell it because you know it so much.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Head of the Bank of the Central Bank of Israel is a member of the North American branch of the chapter of the Trilateral Commission, as is the chairman of the Bank of Canada, the Central Bank of Canada, certainly Alan Greenspan, and before him Paul Volcker, and before him Arthur Burns, all came from the Trilateral Commission. We have a small group that controls our country, but they control other countries throughout the world. They control Israel, and you've got a pretty good idea how they control Israel, but they do this with countries all throughout the world. But behind all of this, the powerful spiritual forces, that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It will change the way you look at the world. You can look at what, get the book, you can get the DVD, or you can get the book, DVD, and tape, and listen to them a number of times until you have the information down. And you can quote Manly P. Hall, or you can quote Sidney Albert Pike, or the others, these people who work within the shadows. and have shaped the world in which we live today and are moving us rapidly towards the climax of civilization. We're involved in the spirits of battle, ladies and gentlemen. You need to have the information. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read Sidney of Tom Horn's book, Apollyon Rising, 2012, it's well worthwhile. It's an excellent book. If you haven't heard the Alien Interviews by Lynn Marzulli, where he actually interviews people, doctors, physicians, scientists, who have actually interviewed people who have been abducted by these so-called aliens. Of course, these are really demonic beings from the other dimension, and you have to understand how this all fits together. And certainly we're seeing lots of supernatural manifestations today. We're seeing certainly the massive flooding in Pakistan. We're seeing animal kills and fish kills throughout the large parts of the world, rivers in Bolivia. For no reason, all the fish are dying and washing up on shore, and suddenly dolphins and sharks and other fishing life are beaching themselves on the east coast of the United States. Lots of things you're not hearing about, but there are all sorts of strange things happening, and it's not simply by accident. You'd like more information, go up on our internet site and listen to my recent interview with Lynn Marzulli, or I think he's going to be our guest again later this week. Interviews with Lynn Marzulli. He's done a great job of compiling all of the information. Furthermore, we're on the edge of a financial catastrophe. The whole financial infrastructure of America is failing. Certainly, Medicare is bankrupt. Social Security is bankrupt. Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, FHA, Ginnie Mae are all bankrupt. The Pension Guarantee Fund is bankrupt. And ladies and gentlemen, it's only a matter of time before this whole system collapses, and you better start preparing to look after yourself and try to get others to do that. Because if you do what everybody else has done, you're going to be terrible, terrible catastrophe. If you have not laid in a supply of emergency food, if you don't have a murky water filter, if you need the various health products to keep your health up, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember, Radio Liberty is still primarily listener-supported. We need to keep our 60 outlets every week. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day conference on the 17th of October. We're bringing in experts from all across America. We're going to be serving lunch. You'll need a reservation. We hope to see you there. That's the Radio Liberty all-day conference on the 17th of October, just 2 months from now. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Go there. You can listen to us on the Internet, 9 hours a day. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. It is the 17th of August, 2010. Wow, what a break. A nice break from the temperatures. It has been wonderful. I hope you're having a little bit of that in wherever you are, but we certainly are feeling it in Missouri, and it is so appreciated. I mean, it's like that little thing I was reading the other day from Bill Malden that says you go outside and it's 80 degrees and you feel like you're getting a chill. That is so true. It's amazing. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for caring about your world, getting better one day at a time. That's what we're all about. Getting more knowledgeable, more powerful, more able to separate the chaff from the wheat. And boy, there is a lot of it on television. My goodness, if you're watching television, it just absolutely nauseates you. You don't want to see it. Well, there was one thing that I did want to see last night. I watched it, and it made me very, let me say, not angry. It made me very aware of how big the lie is. I'll tell you about that a little bit, because the lie is so huge. And every once in a while, we need to see it again to remind ourselves of how big it is. Because we get acclimated to the fact of, oh yeah, I know that. But you know what? It's so bad. One of the things that I think is interesting is how many people responded on the idea that that picture is a fake in the ocean with the president and his daughter. Now, is it important that a picture was taken of him in the water with his daughter? No. Is it important that he attempted to try and get us to believe that that was him in the water swimming in a gulf full of residue from oil? Yeah, it really is. Because a couple of people contacted me that have backgrounds in doing graphics and in the kind of design work that they might be involved in, perhaps just, you know, changing things, photoshopping, whatever you want to call it. And they said, it is absolutely a fake. Well, it just seemed to me that he wasn't going to be in the ocean, but that was my own personal opinion. But there are a lot of people who agree with that, that something is wrong with that. Well, something is real wrong when they have to lie to you about a picture in the ocean with their daughter. I mean, that's really, really troublesome. Well, there's other things in the news that are troublesome also, but I do want to give you in just a few minutes an update on Pastor Butch Paul. I do thank you all for his prayers. I know his family does also, and we will share with you what we know about Pastor Butch Paul at this point in time. If you haven't heard, there are new immunizations for this school year. Get ready. And if you're participating in the school program and immunizations, I feel for you. But I feel more for your children. A decision that everyone has to make, to vaccinate or not. We have plenty of information at the Power Hour that will help you, that will address those issues. If you're up in the air, order something that has some serious good medical value to it of people who know vaccines to decide if this is something that you're going to do or not. Don't just vaccinate without thinking. Would I vaccinate? I'll tell you right now, no, I would not vaccinate now. I'm having to deal with the issue of vaccinating over justice. I want to do what, that's the new puppy, by the way, the Power Hour puppy. I want to do just what I have to do, not what the law says is nice to do, or the veterinarian says is nice to do. I dread this time of the year doing programs about vaccines. My heart goes out to these children. They are being run through the doctor's offices in huge numbers, given these vaccines, and who knows what the damage is going to be. Please consider getting the information and sharing it with people you know. You may very well save the life of a child. We'll be back after this 3-minute break with more of the Power Hour. And just imagine, how much do you think the AWOL rate, the absent without leave rate, is up in the Army? Just make a guess. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure. For world class